Good afternoon. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Welcome to Bill Allen's Bible studies that we do here on Tuesday and Thursday afternoons on Facebook. If you're watching live, then it is Tuesday afternoon at 3 p.m. Central Time. If you are watching later, either on my Facebook page or on our church Facebook pages or on our church website, West Irwin. com. That's Irwin with an E, Rwin. That's where you'll find it. You click on that connect tab, you scroll down to live stream and go there, and then click on the view archives and find all kinds of fun stuff there, including past sermons, past Facebook lessons, past worship services, lots of stuff. So glad to have you joining along. Hello to my friends Cindy and Eric Mosley. Wonderful to see you all joining in. Lots of others will join in either live or later, and that's a great thing. Always glad to have you. We are just at the part of our study in Eflagard Smith's The Daily Bible in Chronological Order, this wonderful daily Bible reading tool. We're in Proverbs, and that means we're about the time of King David and King Solomon, especially at this time, King Solomon. He didn't write all of the Proverbs, all of the book of Proverbs, but it's likely that he wrote almost all of them. And there are some that are attributed to others, such as that wonderful passage in Proverbs 31. The Proverbs 31 lady, or as woman, as some have called that chapter that speaks about that godly woman. And it's a great passage. And one of the different things about that passage in Proverbs 31 that we'll get to later, probably next week, is that it's a whole context. I mean, that's amazing, because in the book of Proverbs, it's kind of one verse context in Psalms that went kind of chapter by chapter. So if you wanted to know the context and what was going on at the time in the life of the psalmist, then the best way to do it was to read the psalm. And in Proverbs, that's pretty much the same thing, but really you can't read the whole chapter. You can only read one particular verse or maybe a few verses. Sometimes there's two or three or four that are strapped together. And then there are some places where there's a little bit more consistent theme over a period, over several verses, such as this one that we're going to read in just a moment, the very first seven verses out of the book, Proverbs, from Proverbs chapter 1. But again, a few things about Proverbs. We shared some of these this past week, and as we introduced this study, and we're kind of going through that again today. But a few reminders of about Proverbs. There's again a verse by verse context. There's no real continuity there, but that's okay because the wise man in Proverbs had a lot to say about a lot of different subjects and topics. In fact, when you look in the Daily Bible and their index of topics, the book of Proverbs takes up a lot of space because there's so many different topics, and it's hard to index that. One of the things that the book of Proverbs talks about is the fear of the Lord, and we'll be talking about that in just a moment. But let's go ahead and get started and read through some of these. It's kind of interesting the way I'll handle this because we're going to go through a lot of verses because typically, again, it's one or two verses that make a point and then you go on to a different point. Eflagard Smith has the book of Proverbs in his daily Bible. Of course, it's done in chronological order, so the vast majority of them are right here. But it's also arranged by topic as he arranges it. So we'll get started. This is the first seven verses of the book, Proverbs chapter 1, 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior. And that's a great description of what the book of Proverbs is all about, receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair. And that's exactly another great summary, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. When he says simple or fool, he's talking about those who don't really consider the will of God in their lives and don't really think things through. But someone who is inclined to evil and doesn't use good sense, we might say, good common sense, especially in the book of Proverbs. And he continues on, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The wise is contrasted with the fool. And so the wise person is the person who is showing good common sense, and specifically, the wise person is the one who is willing to hear instruction from reliable sources, particularly the aged, those who are older. And we've said, right, reading through the book of Proverbs is like having a conversation with your grandfather and hearing him give you what he considers to be the best advice he can give you on how to live your life. And that is exactly right. And then Proverbs 1 verse 7, this little passage ends with this statement, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So I do want us to talk a little bit about the fear of the Lord. There's a lot in Proverbs about fearing the Lord. There's other places as well. In fact, in Ecclesiastes, which we'll read next week, it nearly ends with these statements talking about fearing God and keeping his commandments. Usually, when you read something that says fear God in an instructive way, whether it's in Proverbs or Ecclesiastes or Job or wherever, there's a description that follows it, another instruction. For example, Ecclesiastes 12, fear God and keep his commandments. Well, what does it mean to fear God? Well, it means you obey him, you keep his commandments. Fearing the Lord is not just to be afraid of him, but rather it is to hold God in the highest and deepest reverence, to honor God, to stand in awe of God, to reverence him, to regard him highly. And again, the best way I think to understand what the Bible means when it tells us to fear the Lord is to read the rest of the verse. Ecclesiastes 12, fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of mankind. Because God is going to bring every single event, every thought, every action into judgment. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. Joshua, toward at the end of his life, in Joshua 24 says, you should serve God. Remember, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he's calling them to fear God there. In Acts chapter 10 and in Proverbs 31, towards the end of that chapter, we're told to fear God and do what is right. Peter, in talking to the Gentile Cornelius, says, "Hey, I get it now. God has demonstrated to me that everyone from any ethnic or national background who fears Him and does what is right will be acceptable to Him." And which was a big statement for a Jew to make, especially in the presence of a Gentile. Certainly the book of Proverbs affirms that as well. And then we're going to read some passages that really get back to that obedience thing, and state it in a negative way. Positively, fear God and keep his commandments. In a negative way, fear God and depart from evil. And so the writer says at the very onset, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, scripture says in some other places. And so let's look at some of these verses that have to do with the fear of the Lord, and then we'll move on because we got a lot of ground to cover today out of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 9, verses 10 through 12, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And we've said that this is a wisdom literature like Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, and Job. Proverbs uses parallel language. In other words, we have this one verse that is stated in two ways. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So fear of the Lord goes along with knowledge of the Holy One. That's what that means. Beginning of wisdom means it's understanding. And so those statements correlate with each other. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. What we're going to find in Proverbs is a lot of that, but we'll also find some opposites. I know Paula Abdul said opposites attract, but not so much in Proverbs. In Proverbs, a lot of time the contrast is between the fool and the wise, the one who fears the Lord and the one who does not. But maybe getting a little bit ahead of myself. Proverbs 10, verse 27, the fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. And again, we're reminded that in Proverbs, these are proverbial statements, general truths that are pretty typically true and accurate, but do have exceptions. Why you say that, Bill? Well, because the fear of the Lord doesn't always add length to life, and the years of the wicked aren't always cut short. Sometimes the bad guys win. Sometimes the good guys' life is cut short, and we see that a lot. But generally speaking, on the average, we might say it's better to fear the Lord. It's better to not be wicked and to be righteous instead. That's typically good, a good way to live, even though there are exceptions. And you shouldn't point to the exceptions and say, see there, the Bible isn't true. You're not respecting the context and the genre, the literary genre of what is being written here. Proverbs 14, verse 2. Whoever fears the Lord walks uprightly, but those who despise him are devious in their ways. Again, like the previous reading, Proverbs 14, verse 2 is a contrast. Whoever fears the Lord walks uprightly. In other words, to fear the Lord means to be obedient. And then the opposite is also true, but those who despise him are devious in their ways. Excuse me. Allergies are really kicking it up around here. And so we see that opposite being stated. Those who despise him are devious in their ways, but whoever fears the Lord walks uprightly. Skipping down in chapter 14, verses 26 and 27, whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children it will be a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. What a great, great statement. And again, you can think of it as a older, wiser person talking to a younger person and giving them good counsel and good advice. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. Again, you'll find your life better, and even you might live longer by living a life that reverences and worships and honors God. Chapter 15, verse 33, wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor. The humble person is the one who ultimately will likely be honored. Generally true. Chapter 19, verse 23, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. What a great, great statement. The last one, Proverbs 28, verse 14. Blessed is the one who always trembles before God, but whoever hardens their heart falls into trouble. And again, general statements that are typically true, maybe are exceptions, but I like my chances. If I fear the Lord, if I walk in reverence before Him, and respect Him, then I believe that life will be better. Another topic, in addition to fearing the Lord, that is related to that is trusting in God rather than self. And one of the most famous verses from Proverbs is this one, Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. Proverbs 3, verse 5. A very well-known passage. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Again, still in the Old Testament, but we're still talking about trusting Him wholeheartedly. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in God rather than yourself. What does that mean? Well, again, there's a parallel statement that comes right after that. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Again, it's obedience. Trusting in the Lord means you do things His way. You live obediently. How do you know what He wants, Bill? Well, that's called the Bible. You read the Bible, and that will tell you what God is calling for. This passage in Proverbs 3 continues, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Again, what does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, it means to avoid evil, shun evil. New Testament brings that out as well. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. That is a great statement. Other passages that we see, do you see a person wise in their own eyes? Chapter 26, verse 12 asks, there is more hope for a fool than for him. So if you're a little on the arrogant side rather than the humble side, it's not going to go well. And we see that. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, Proverbs 29, 25, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. What a great, great statement. many are the plans in a person's heart, Proverbs 19, verse 20, 21, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. One of the things about Proverbs that I like to use is to use it alongside the New Testament book of James. James is also a very practical book about everyday living, and a lot of the same themes that we read about in the book of Proverbs, we read about in the book of James, and this is one of them. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. And you may remember that passage in James chapter 4 where James says, look, don't just say tomorrow we'll do this or that, later today I'll do this or that, but say if it's the Lord's will, then that's what we'll do. And it's not just about saying those words, God willing, or if it's the Lord's will, but rather it's about including the Lord in your plans. Many are the plans in a person's heart, Proverbs puts it, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. A great, great statement. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Proverbs 27, verse 1. Jesus would say in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, don't concern yourself as much with tomorrow as you do today. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will come together for you. What a great, great statement. The wise man in Proverbs contrasts the wise and the fool in a lot of passages. Chapter 17, verse 12, better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than a fool bent on folly. You know, the great thing about Proverbs is you don't have to do a lot of explaining. You get that, right? You get that. Proverbs 26, verse 4, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him. And then the very next verse, answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. So which one is it, Bill? Well, you decide what the situation calls for. Sometimes, if you get down there in the mud and start slinging mud with them, that's not a good thing. But sometimes you have to speak in a way that they would understand and be very honest with them. And I think that is what this proverb out of Proverbs 26 is saying. A little bit later on in Proverbs 26, it says this. This is one of those memorable statements you may have heard. As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. Well, you know, however long it's been, 3,000 years or so since Solomon wrote these words down, dogs still do that. They return to their vomit, and fools still do that. They repeat their folly. Some things just haven't changed. Other verses that we continue on and look at throughout the book of Proverbs. There's a lot of advice given and rebuke. Proverbs 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Again, if you follow good counsel and good advice, it's going to be better for you. The way of fools seems right to them, Proverbs 12, 15, but the wise listen to advice. Wow. You know, the person who is willing to hear and evaluate counsel that they're given and then follow it if it measures up is a whole lot better off than the person who says, oh, I know everything. I'm going to call my own shots. I'm going to make my own way. And then this verse, Proverbs 27, verse 5, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Whew, that's hard, isn't it? Better is open rebuke than hidden love. It's better to have someone close to you that is willing to tell you the truth than it is to have someone who admires you and loves you but never tells you. We'll read the next verse along with it this time. Proverbs 27, verses 5 and 6. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. We call that enemy who multiplies kisses a yes man or a yes woman, someone who always says yes, who always agrees, who won't tell us the truth. Unfortunately, for people of power, they have a hard time finding someone that they can trust enough that will tell them the truth, that will not be afraid to confront them when they need to be challenged, even though there's risk there. Great, great statements. Another great statement from Proverbs 27, a little further down than those verses, is verse 17, is iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Older translations, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. It's probably generically stated, but I've seen that theme for men's groups. Iron sharpens iron. That's a great great statement from Proverbs 27, verse 17. We are to sharpen each other, just as iron is used to sharpen other bits of iron. Proverbs 11, verse 14. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. In this election year, we might say a hearty amen to that, but we might also add, through many good advisors, you want to receive good counsel. Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12, this is one that shows up in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Now, as with many other statements in Proverbs, you can't read that and say, well, the Bible is affirming abuse. No, it's not. It's affirming appropriate punishment and discipline, just like God brings us. Discipline means the word disciple is a learner. To discipline someone means to help them to learn, and discipline can be positive or negative. Can be rewards for good behavior, but it also can be punishment to bring someone back into line. Again, that punishment has to be appropriate. It should not be abusive, either physically, verbally, or sexually. But in this case, the writer of Proverbs is thinking of how the Lord disciplines, and he says, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. You perhaps have had parents who were abusive to you, and these kinds of verses are hard to read, and I'm so sorry for what you have suffered, and I want you to know that you have a heavenly father who loves you, and if he does discipline you, then you know it's out of love to try to bring you back closer towards what he wants you to be. Remember the old proverb, the verse, whoever spares spare the rod and spoil the child. You remember that? Well, that's not exactly what it says. In fact, what it says is even stronger. Proverbs 13, verse 24, whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. Again, very quickly, you have to add here in 21st century America, that's not talking about abuse. It's talking about appropriate discipline, appropriate punishment. And the truth is, if you never tell a child no, if you never make a child suffer the consequences of bad behavior, then they're not going to grow up to be responsible adults. And I think the goal of parenting, I think James Dobson has said and others, is to raise children who will be responsible and autonomous or independent. I mean, that's our goal as parents, and even our goal as churches, right, of our children that grow up in our church, to raise them to be independent on their own and responsible on their own as they follow and serve the Lord on their own. Again, Proverbs 13, verse 24, whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. I think that's right. Mockers resent correction, so they avoid the wise, Proverbs 15, verse 12 says. And then this verse, we mentioned it a little bit last time, Proverbs 22, verse 6, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. We said that statement has caused a lot of heartache over people because they have said, well, my child turned away from it, so I must not have trained them up in the way they should go. Well, not necessarily. As we said last time, Ezekiel chapter 18 says, "The soul that sins is the soul that shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity and responsibility for the sins of the parent, nor shall the parent bear the iniquity and responsibility for the sins of the child. The righteousness of the righteous person will be upon them, and the wickedness of the wicked person will be upon them." That being said, again, proverbs are general statements that are generally true, that do have exceptions. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it, in the familiar King James Version. Again, that's the role of parents. Just like Deuteronomy, when we were in Deuteronomy and Moses was saying, "Hey, teach your kids about this law. Talk about it all the time. Make applications when you're walking on the path, when you're sitting at home." That's what we're called to do. Chapter 23, verses 13 and 14. "Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish them with the rod, they will not die. Punish them with the rod and save them from death." Again, appropriate punishment as we're raising children is absolutely essential and necessary. It starts in the home, it goes from there to grandparents and other adults, it goes from there to teachers and authorities at school, it goes from there to law enforcement and being respectable citizens in the community. How do they do that? They do that by being brought up that way. And unfortunately, I think there are many who have been deprived of that. And that's their loss. And it's the parents or whoever's responsibility to do that. We try to help children as they grow up to know that there are consequences of behavior and choices. And we help them face those consequences as safely as we can and as consistently as we can, according to the Word of God. Proverbs 29, verse 18 is a passage that unfortunately is a little bit mistranslated in the King James Version. It says, "Where there is no vision, people perish." Well, when it's not talking about, do you have a vision statement? Not directly anyway. But what it says is, when there is no revelation, as in a revelation from God, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. So it's not just talking about having a vision for yourself or your family or your business or your church, but it's talking about having God's vision for that. And when it says where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, what it's talking about is if there's no word from God, if there's no prophet that's speaking a word from God in the Old Testament times of the writer of Proverbs, or in our time, if people will not look to the Bible for God's word, then you might as well not have revelation at all if you don't read it and seek to understand it. Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. And we see that in our world today, do we not? When you take away the Bible, when you take away God's word and God's will, then they can live any way they want to live. In our modern 21st century time, and not just 21st century, but 2024, it's your truth or my truth or no truth. But in Scripture, it is the truth. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Well, we can say all day long that that's your truth. I don't accept that. Well, that doesn't make it any less true, my friend. And when you do that, then you are free to, you're not restrained at all. You can live any way you want to live because, hey, there's no objective truth. Well, that objective truth can be found in God's word. Blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. Proverbs 28, verse 13. "Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy." Boy, what great advice that is. To repent of your sin, to change your life, to acknowledge it, and then to go forth having received forgiveness from a righteous and merciful God. Well, we continue on. A great proverb for us in our country today, Proverbs 14, verse 34. "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin condemns any people." I pray for our nation every day, and I hope you do too. And I pray for our world every day. I hope you do too. I pray my prayers, and I divide them up into three sections. Of course, praising God through it all, but praying for my family and praying for my church where I am, and praying for my country. And Proverbs 14, verse 34 is just as true today as it was those 2,900 years or so ago. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin condemns any people. Yes, that's true of the special people, chosen nation of God, of Solomon's day, true, but that's true of every nation. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin condemns any people. Proverbs 15, verse 9, the Lord detests the way of the wicked, but he loves those who pursue righteousness. Yes. Chapter 28, verse 12, when the righteous triumph, there's great elation, but when the wicked rise to power, people go into hiding. I was hoping Jesus would come before we went through another election cycle, but that's his call, not mine. And so here we are in the middle of another election year. And these words are still true. When the righteous triumph, there is great elation. People are happy. Life is better. But when the wicked rise to power, people go into hiding. It's just a very, very sad, sad thing. Okay, let's keep going here a little bit, and we're going to be coming up to another section, and I think we'll pause for now as our time is getting away from us. Lots to read about in the book of Proverbs, and this next section will deal once again with the heart and with the motives behind what we do. In the meantime, I've enjoyed being with you. I apologize for fighting the allergies, and I appreciate you staying hanging in there with me. And I look forward to going through the rest of the book of Proverbs this Thursday and this coming week. God bless.